That great song, great song. Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10 in your Bibles tonight. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10. God's good. We've got a few people gone tonight, but they're at the Catholic Church, and no, they're not. Amen. I told Brother Watson, I said, you be sure to take time to get healed. Amen. Sometimes you reach a certain age, you just get stubborn. Amen. There were no amens by the men on that one anyway. Right. We got to keep them in prayer. Remember them in prayer. Amen. Definitely. I had something I wanted to read you. Oh, here it is. Okay, got it. Here we go. A farmer could not tell his two horses apart, so he tried cutting the tail off the one horse, but it didn't work because it grew right back. So then he cut the mane off the other horse, and that didn't work either because it grew right back also. So finally, he measured them, and he found out that the white horse was 2 inches taller than the black horse. Now, if Jordan were here, she'd laugh in about 3 seconds. Amen. She'd laugh in about 3 seconds. Amen. Oh, that was my wake up to see if you were awake tonight. I'm glad a few of you are tonight. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's begin with verse number 1 in God's word tonight. Notice the Bible, what it says tonight. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Notice verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. We ask for your help and your strength tonight as we open thy word. Lord, we just need to hear from you tonight. We ask that you, Lord, just fill us with your power and your spirit, Lord, tonight. And God, I'm just a human instrument, just a human vessel. But Lord, tonight I just ask you to use me and use us all tonight as we open thy word and just meet the need of every heart, of every listener here tonight, God. And feed us, we pray, something from thy word, Lord, that would guide us through every day and every hour, I pray. And we'll thank you and ask you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage of scripture that we just read here, the Apostle Paul is making an understanding to the Corinthian church about how God has used him in their lives and in the lives of other people. And he looks at them in verse 2. He's writing, of course, to the Corinthian church. And if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they were not a strong church. They were not really a godly people. They had a lot of growing to do. And they had a lot of difficulty, a lot of sin in their lives and in the church. And Apostle Paul wrote 2 letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And in both of those letters, he was dealing with those things that were in the church. And by the way, you know, we have to always be dealing with things in our heart. Did you know that? We have to always be dealing with stuff that goes on in our heart and our mind because we are human, we're in the flesh. And we got our goal is to please and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've always got to be dealing with our own flesh. And we've always got to be making our motives pure and keeping our heart clean and right with the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul is concerned that the people in the church of Corinth see that God has used Paul in a great way. And they've seen a lot of people saved and lives changed through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he wants them to understand that it is not a work of the flesh. He said, it's not me. Paul's saying, it's not me. It's Christ in me that is making the difference. It's not my flesh or my ability. He wants them to understand that it is God that does these things. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that God wants us in our hearts to be fulfilled, and the Lord Jesus Christ to be filling us and empowering us in life. He wants to make it clear that it's not his flesh, him in the power of the flesh. You know, the old flesh can do a lot of stirring things up, but there is no substitute for the working and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and by the way, he doesn't go contrary to the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit works in our lives, it's a powerful thing. And so he explains it further here in this passage, chapter 3, or verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, I want you to notice some things about this. And verse 3 is my first point tonight. I want you to notice the Apostle Paul tells us there is a warfare going on. There is a warfare going on. There is a warfare in this world. This world has a mighty warfare that's going on. And it's not a battle of guns and blazes. It's not the battle of Gaza. And by the way, the warfare that Paul's talking about is really the sources of the battle that's going on over there in Gaza. Amen. It is this battle of Satan versus God. And God tells us there is a battle to win. Now, can I tell you, if there is a battle to win, then God wants us to be in that battle. God wants us to be in the battle. God does not want us Christians to sit by in our comfy, cozy recliners. Amen? Somebody once asked this week, why don't we take the pews out and put recliners in the church auditorium? And I said, because I'd have to preach twice as hard to keep everybody awake. Right? And so don't count on that. That ain't going to happen. Amen? But I'm saying to you tonight, there is a warfare. There is a warfare. There is a warfare for this flesh. Every Christian has three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a warfare out there. Sometimes we don't feel up to the challenge of the warfare as a Christian in our life. Sometimes we, and by the way, in our flesh, as Paul was saying, in our flesh, we can't win this battle. Right. We have to walk with the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God in us is what wins this battle. There is a warfare going on. There is a battle. You know, I tell you, a lot of Christians live their Christian life like we're tiptoeing through the tulips. There's a real battle going on. Satan is after people. The devil's deceiving mind after mind after mind because he wants to get control of this whole world. He wants to control everyone's mind. He wants to control a child's mind. He puts all kinds of garbage going on. You know they're now starting cartoons for children that promote the homosexual lifestyle. Promotion, yeah. There's a battle going on. There's a warfare going on. If there were no warfare, God wouldn't say this. He wouldn't say, we do not war after the flesh. He's saying there's a battle, there's a warfare. Warfare fights against teenagers. You know, the devil wants to destroy a teenager's lives. Drugs, sex, immorality, the internet. He wants to render you and I spiritually dead through these things. There's a warfare. Christian, hear me tonight. There's a war going on. There's a battle. There's a war. This old flesh battles every day. You know, one of the best things about heaven, you know what it's going to be? We won't have this flesh. Amen. When we get to heaven. This corruptible will put on incorruption. Amen. This mortal will put on immortality. We're going to be a whole different. I don't think we can imagine what it's like being in heaven, knowing the gravity of the flesh not weighing us down every day. That's going to be one of the greatest blessings of heaven. But you know, until then, we have to fight this old flesh. We can't give in to the flesh. We can't give in to it. We can't give it an inch. You give the flesh an inch, it's not content. It wants another inch. If you give the flesh 2 inches, it's still not content. It wants a foot. It wants a yard. It wants a mile. It's never content. The flesh is never satisfied. And the Apostle Paul is saying here in this flesh, and even Paul mentioned that he struggled with the flesh. He said, that which I would, I do not, and that which I do, I would not. Even he struggled in the flesh. He knew that there was a battle going on. But can I tell you what? This is a battle that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to fight and to win. Amen. God wants us to be successful in this warfare. He does not want us to lose our victories. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul got down there in 1 Timothy, and he said these words, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I have warred a good warfare. He fought and fought and fought for the Lord. He had to fight his old flesh. See the world, sometimes it seems like the world is doing just fine. You know why? Because they don't have to fight anything. They just give in to it. It's just part of them. But, you know, you and I as Christians, we have to fight this old flesh every day, because this old flesh, it will take control if we allow it, and it'll ruin our life. It just keeps bringing us down, down, down. But God, in his word here, has made a great promise. He said in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Notice, secondly, we have successful weapons that God has given to us. And I want you to notice, first of all, the word weapons. It's plural. God didn't give us just one weapon. God gave us many weapons. You go out in a battlefield, there's all kinds of weapons. I was reading this week about how they're trying to get Hamas out of those tunnels. And I was interested in how they're going to do that, some of the tactics that they were going to use. I heard they're using some water cannons. That'd be fun to spray a Hamas guy with a water cannon. Wouldn't that be good? Boom, blow the towel right off his head. Amen? Or that green thing, whatever that Hamas green thing is. Shoom, there it goes. They use water cannons. Tear gas. They're using ferocious dogs. Go get them, Rover. Sick them, boy. I like that. Amen. They're using different weapons. You see, there's different weapons that we can use. And God said these weapons are mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty weapons. The weapons that God gives are mighty. They're not weak. They're not fleshly. They are mighty weapons. Notice some of these weapons. Go to Acts chapter 13 with me in your Bibles. Notice Acts chapter number 13 and look at verse number 4. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 4. The early church had these powerful weapons. Notice Acts 13 verse 4. It says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. By the way, that's who you have to listen to know what to do. Is the Holy Spirit of God. They departed into Seleucia and came thence, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now notice what's going on here. Paul and Barnabas are preaching here, and they face resistance from this guy. There's a resistance there. By the way, anytime you preach the word of God, the devil's going to resist. He doesn't like it. This Elymas, the sorcerer, and by the way, I want to tell you something. A lot of these powers in the world are very real and powerful. That's why stuff like Dungeons and Dragons, Harry Potter, stuff like that, a Christian ought not invest any time in that. Amen. That's of the devil. Yeah. Pokemon. Right. Yeah. Those things are devilish. Yeah. Devilish signs on them. Ouija boards. You say, that's all just harmless fun. No, it's satanic hooks that are trying to build strongholds in the life of a Christian. And by the way, Paul was talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to lost people here. He's talking to saved people. So the battle was going on between the preaching of Paul and Barnabas and Elymas, this sorcerer. He withstood them. He was fighting against them. There's the warfare going on, isn't it? There's the warfare. Look at verse number 9, though. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's the key right there, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all mischief, subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He was fighting, wasn't he? He was using a weapon. There was a weapon that God gave him. Verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, by the way, this was what the battle was about. It was for the soul of the deputy. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Hey, Paul used a weapon that God gave him. And may I tell you what? He won the battle in the life of the deputy. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you don't think that the devil is real and fighting in this world, just go knock a door and try to witness to somebody. Go knock a door and try to witness to somebody. By the way, America was founded on the Bible and the Word of God. But let me tell you something. It's hard. It's harder to win people to the Lord in America, in the Bible Belt, than it is many, many foreign countries. That's right. You say, why is that? I'll tell you what. Because the devil fights. Where God is blessing the most, the devil's going to fight the most. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe if the devil can shut down the churches in America, all the churches that the churches in America support on foreign mission fields, will go down too. Yeah. So I'm saying to you tonight, there's a real battle, real warfare. You know what makes me want to do? Makes me want to be all the more faithful. Amen. Whenever the devil wants to fight you going to church, say, that's it. I'm going to go early. And I'm going to fellowship late. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to pray a little longer. Whenever you sense the devil fighting, pick up a weapon. God's got some weapons, and they're not of our flesh. They are mighty unto God. God's got some mighty weapons, and we see that in the life of the deputy. Take your Bible also to Matthew chapter 16 with me. The book of Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to notice here another weapon. Matthew chapter number 16, it's easy to find. It's right after chapter 15. God bless both of you for laughing at my jokes. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. It says there, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, there's some things that we get from God. There's just some things that we get straight from God. Amen. By the way, don't put God in a box. Amen. God can do amazing things. Now, don't take God out of the confines of true scripture. But don't put God in the box. Say, this is where God is limited. Hey, man are limited, but with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
Amen. These are the weapons that God's talking about. The weapons that can be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, one of the mighty weapons that God gives is the mighty weapon of preaching. Preaching. You know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of power when he preached the Word of God. He'd get up, say, thus saith the Lord. And man, it started. There was a division. Everywhere he went, he was causing trouble. You know, every good preacher's got to cause a little trouble every once in a while. Amen. Through the preaching of the Word. Amen. You got to step on a few toes. You can't, you know, you can't just tiptoe through the tulips all the time.
Right.
Amen. So, but look at what Paul's preaching did. Go to Acts chapter 26. The book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse number 25. Now, this is the Apostle Paul standing before Herod Agrippa. And they're going to pronounce sentence on him in accordance to what he says. And he gets the opportunity to give his testimony to Herod Agrippa. And the first part of the chapter, verses 1 through verse 13, is the Apostle Paul telling Agrippa that he was a Jew, he was a good Jew, and he was doing all these things. And then we come to verse number 13, where Paul gets saved. And notice verse number 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So you see here, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. And notice what the power of his testimony did in verse 19. He says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." You know, some people think preaching's crazy. Some people think when God gets a hold of your life and changes your life, and boy, you quit going to the bar and you start going to church all the time. Some people are going to think that's crazy. But hallelujah, it's a good crazy. Amen. Amen? Some people don't understand. And Paul was trying to use a weapon of God, his testimony, to influence them, to tell them what God has done. By the way, nobody can argue with your testimony because it's yours. It's yours. And so notice what happens here. Festus thinks he's mad. Verse 26, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now let me tell you something. Agrippa didn't get saved, but the power of his testimony brought him that close. The power of this weapon that he had brought him real, real close to getting saved. I want to tell you something. I believe throughout all the rest of Agrippa's life, he was thinking about that day when he could have gotten saved. And when he passed away and died, went to hell, that first moment he was in hell, he was thinking back, I believe he was thinking back to that day when he heard the weapon of Paul's testimony telling him how to get saved, and he did nothing with it. I wonder how many people are in hell even today crying out, "I should have trusted Christ on that day. That time when I had a chance, that time when I walked into that church, that little church on the corner, and that preacher stepped on my toes, and he asked me to get saved. He asked me to come forward and trust Christ. I wish I would have done it on that day." You know, let me tell you something. God works in strange ways. Just this past week, there was a man who visited church this past Sunday. And he actually filled out a form. And we went and visited him on Saturday, but nobody was home. But he came himself on Sunday. And I looked at the card because I wanted to know why he came. You know what that card said? That card said, "Because I drive by your church every day." Amen. That's what he said. You know what I say? Every time that man drove by our church to go to work, the Holy Spirit was working on him saying, you need to go to that church. And then he come back from work, or I don't know if he went that way and went home that way, or if he went that way and went home that way. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. And you know what he did? He said, God told me to go to church. Now, I want to tell you something. It's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon, and I believe that comes from a church that's praise. Church that prays. A praying church. That's my second weapon, prayer. Prayer. You know, praying just keeps on going, preaching and praying. Doug Sisson, missionary in the Philippines. Brother Doug Sisson made a Catholic priest mad because all his parishioners were getting saved. And they were leaving the Catholic church and coming to his church. And so one service, the Catholic priest came to the Baptist church there in the Philippines. He sat in the back and scowled the whole time. He was mad because his people were leaving and coming to Brother Sisson's church. And little by little, that priest just kept coming back. He kept coming back. And one Sunday, that Catholic priest walked the aisle and he got saved. In a Baptist church. Hey, God will take Catholics. Amen. God will take anybody who wants to come to him. You know, what is it? It's not our flesh. Paul makes it clear. Our flesh can do nothing. It is these powerful weapons that God gives us. Preaching, our testimony, prayer. These things change lives. They are God's weapons. They are God's ways of doing the work of God. There's a fourth weapon I want you to see. We don't always think of it, but it's a weapon called persistence. Persistence. Just staying with it. Just staying with it. You know, my first Sunday at Moore Baptist Church, I was excited. We came to church on Sunday school, our first Sunday morning. Guess what? There was only one family here in church on Sunday school my first Sunday. That was mine. You say, what'd you do? I preached to them. They needed it too. Amen. But little by little, a few more people came and just kept coming. And now we're just a mega church. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. Persistence can win a lot of battles that you can't win overnight. You just stick with it. Just stick with the right thing. You know, George Mueller prayed for his brother. His brother was lost, and he prayed for him every day for 61 years. And finally, at George Mueller's funeral, his brother came and got saved when George Mueller died. Persistence. Just stick with it. Just stick with it. You know, the tortoise beat the hare, not because he was faster, but because he was persistent. He just kept at it. He just kept at it. You say, I'm not a good soul winner. Hey, listen, just stay at it. Just stay at it. You say, I don't have the gift of gab. Yeah, but you got the gift of persistence. Just stay with it. Just keep trying. Keep learning. Keep going. And whatever you do, don't quit. Don't give up. Just stay in that battle. Just stay there. Stay at it. You say, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere sometime in life, preacher. I want to tell you something. Persistence will get you there. Persistence. Just stay with it. You say, I've lost loved ones. They don't seem, I prayed for them for a long time. They don't seem to be interested. Oh, listen, one of these days, your prayers, God's going to open up and pop the bottle off of your prayers. God's going to take those prayers and pour them out. And you're going to see people get saved. Your family, just keep, stay with it. You know, I think sometimes we kind of give up too quick. We quit praying too quickly. It's a powerful weapon. Persistence is a powerful weapon. Just stay at it. You know, God didn't ask us to be something we're not. He just asked us to be faithful. He just asked us to stay with it. Continue on. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. The Bible reminds us. Persistence. Paul was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned 3 times. Or he was beaten 3 times and stoned. He was imprisoned. But he just wouldn't quit. He just wouldn't quit. He just kept right on serving the Lord. And may I want to tell you something? It's a mighty weapon. It's a weapon that God uses to pull down strongholds. I think of Brian Higgins. Prayed for old Brian for a long time. Oh, man, we just kept on praying. Thank God. Amen? Just kept on praying. By the way, persistent prayer can change things. And old Brian came 1 week and he got saved, baptized him right here before he passed away. And I know old Brian had some real troubles and some real problems in his life. But I tell you what, you can't take your salvation away. Right. And he was persistent people, I think, saw that happen. You know, persistence is a powerful weapon. Hey, don't ever get too low that you quit. You give up. Just stick with it. Be the tortoise, not the hare. Cross the finish line. Run your race the way God has for you to win their race. And you know what you'll find? You'll find the weapon of persistence wins. It wins in the end. You know, I like the story of a man who started a small goods store. He bought some goods and he was going to sell them in a little tiny store. And things didn't work out the way he wanted and he went bankrupt. Finally, after a few years, he gathered a little bit of money together and he started this store again. He just wouldn't quit. He started the store again. And the second time, he went bankrupt. A few years later, he scraped up enough money, learned from his mistakes, started a good store, and this time it started taking off. It started growing. He started selling things, and things started getting better. You know who the man was? J.C. Penney. He just persistently kept with it. I want to tell you something. You may not win a battle today. And you may not win a battle tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, if you just stay persistent, that battle can be won. That wayward child does not just need our prayers. They need our persistent prayers. That one who's gone astray and that one who we love dearly, whom we think will never hear God, just be persistent. It's a powerful weapon. It's a powerful weapon. There's one last thing I want to give you tonight. I want to give you the weapon of the Word of God. The Word of God is a mighty and powerful weapon. Go to Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles with me. The book of Romans chapter 1. You know, I've been thinking about the missions trip and some of the things we're going to do on this missions trip. And I have one desire. I want to get as much of the Word as I possibly can next week. Amen. I mean, I just want to get, we got suitcases with tracts in them. And we've got, at least in my 2 suitcases, I'm sure Mrs. Bingham, she's got probably 200,000 tracts in her. She probably got them in her purse too, amen? I don't know, but... I've got about 15,000 tracks, and I hope we get in a place where there's nothing but people. Amen. Amen? In Brazil, they drive by motorcycles, and you just, boom, one after the other. You stand there, and they take them, sometimes 2 or 3 at a time. That was fun. Amen. But notice Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Notice what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What is the power of God? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if you're saved here tonight, it's because of the power of that gospel. The power of the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And the purpose by which he did all that was to save us from sin. That purpose is what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. We need that persistence. We need that persistence. Persistence of the word. There's a persistence we need. Are you persistent? Do you have the word of God in you? Are you giving it out faithfully, dedicatedly? You know, there's amazing power in a gospel tract. I was reading. I looked up the Jack Chick website. Of all the years that the Chick tracks put out there, they put out a comic book. It's small comic book form. It's a gospel track. They've been doing it for 50 years. And here's some of the feedback of the tracks that they have been given out. Here's a person who said, he said, I am a pastor. I was saved in jail in 1984 after reading a Chick track. Another man said, over 20 years ago, my brother and his wife gave me several of your tracks. After reading one, the Holy Spirit convicted me so strongly that I knelt down at the foot of my bed and I repented of my sins and confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Another man said, I came to Christ out of a totally heathen background, and one of the most instrumental ministries in my life was a tract given to me by my brother. Another man said, at the age of 10, I accepted Jesus because a friend had given me some of your tracks. Another man said, I was shaken back into the fear of the Lord from my backslidden state by the track, This Was Your Life, that I found on my seat in a subway train. Hey, leave them everywhere. Amen? Leave them everywhere. And somebody taught me years ago, if you give somebody a gospel track, they take it and throw it on the ground. Just let it go. See where it will go. You never know. You never know. Another one wrote, when I was a teenager, someone gave me a tract. I took it home and read it. When I finished, I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Another man said, 1989, I was depressed and even suicidal. I was walking the streets of Nashville one night and I happened upon a track, This Was Your Life, laying on a grease spot in a parking lot. I read it, threw it down, and then came back and read it again. In the months after that, I repented and trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. Amen. Another one said, 20 years ago, I became a Wiccan. A Wiccan. Then I read one of your tracts. It affected me so much that I left Wicca and converted to Christianity. Now I'm a born-again Christian. Thank you. Another one said, the first time I saw one of your tracts was in my child's Halloween candy sack. Must have been trunk or treat. I don't know. This Was Your Life is the track I can honestly say changed my life. It was a step that led to salvation. Praise God. One more. I'm 15 and I go to a Hispanic church. A lot of their people there have joined our church and have been born again because of the tracts that you gave. I want to just tell you something. You take the word of God and you put it in printed form. Bible says great was the company of those that published it. You put it in written form and you give it out. It's like putting a seed into the ground. And when it goes into that ground, it's going to grow something. And we may never know this side of heaven, but I want to tell you something. These are testimonies of what gospel tracts can do. And you know what they are? They're simple weapons that God's given us to win this battle that we're in. It's not by our own power, not by our own flesh. It's by the weapons of our warfare, and they're mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, let's use the weapons that God's given us. Let's let them speak. Let's not let our flesh speak. Let's let the weapons of God go forth and be used in our lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight.